you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this and putting up with our technical difficulties. My technical difficulties.
Not a problem. It happens. Technology.
We're still early on. This is before the podcast even launches. So I'm really excited to see if we can get listeners for the show. I think we'll get a few.
Well, there's a bunch of King of Queens fans out there, and I think we can. I think we'd eventually get them on here.
Yeah, I don't know if I said this to you last week when we spoke, but it was. I consider this show to be like the last great American sitcom, and
I agree.
There's no politics. There's no like bullshit. Like there's no nastiness. It's just kind of fun to watch.
100%. I feel like it's kind of like timeless. I mean, and you know, today's day and age, like this, you're going to watch a show and somebody somewhere is going to be offended at something that somebody on the show says, but it's inevitable. You know,
I love it.
I agree. No, I really do love it. It's just, you know, Kevin James being, you know, from, you know, Stony Brook going to Ward Melville, that's 15 minutes from my house, you know, and it's a Long Island like legend pretty much. So it's just cool that, you know, people pay homage to, you know, the King of Queens and a lot of my Queens friends and every people that know, like, they don't want to hear it, but Queens is a part of Long Island. They don't want it's a different world out there, but they don't want to hear it. You look at the map. Queens and Brooklyn are on Long Island.
We're all stronger together.
Yeah, exactly.
Strong Island. But yeah, I'm in Nassau, so I'm about a 5-10 minute walk to Queens.
Nice. Yeah, I'm from Suffolk over in Center Reach. So
yeah, you're hiding way out there. I love it.
I'm not even that far. I'm not even out that far. I'm like in the middle of Long Island.
I tell you, man, I love getting out in Nassau. Nassau's, you know, like I'm in the real suburbs.
A little too cluttered for me, Nassau. It's a little everything's a little too close. I like a little more separation and spread apart, you know.
Well, I'm in Hewlett. I don't know if you know Nassau too well, but I'm in
a little bit. Hewlett's a nice area.
Yeah. I like the area and it's the five towns, you know. And So it's a little bit less congested here, but other parts of Nassau's kind of like, oh my God, kill me.
Yeah. Right on top of each other.
Yeah. What episode are we talking about today?
We're talking about Cello Goodbye, which is the third episode of season one.
This episode is bananas in a couple ways. So, like a little bit of a past with me, you know, I went to film school and I have this love of silent film and I kind of overlooked the one scene where they're kind of mimicking each other and like doing this like mouthing insults, and it's done so well, you know.
You know, it's funny, I was mentioning before, I was thinking about when I watched this before that that part, I feel like what they did was they actually were like kind of yelling and talking to each other, but then they just lowered down the volume track and put the cello track above it, so it looks like they're just kind of like lipping yelling to each other. Do you know what I mean?
It's definitely possible. I mean, because they're so expressive.
Yeah, it's accurate of how like the mouths are moving. I mean, obviously, yeah, you could do that and like kind of just mime the way you're saying it.
Yeah. But
I think I think they actually recorded them saying it and just deleted the audio track and put up the track of the cello.
That's why we need them on the show. So
yeah, that'd be amazing. We can get the actual facts from the people that were there.
Yeah, exactly. So let's see. This episode aired 98. When did this air? October 5th, 1998.
98.
Yeah, crazy, right? So we talked about a bunch of things off air, but... So I might be repeating myself in that sense. Did you watch King of Queens when it was on the air, or was it new?
No, I didn't. I didn't start watching it till many years after it was off. It was syndication. I think I started watching it. Well, my first like real introduction to it, and I started really watching it, I want to say it was like 2013.
Oh, so really late.
Yeah.
Still over a decade.
I knew about the show, but I just didn't really watch it. I knew of it, you know.
Yeah, actually, I did. I think I did watch it in the last couple seasons.
But I'll tell you what I did watch. I did watch Saved by the Bell, and I still to this day. And Stacey Carosi, who just happens to be Leah Remini, who happens to be Carrie Heffernan. It's funny too because I remember the very first time I see that, I'm like, oh my God, that's Stacey Carosi from Saved by the Bell.
Stacey Carosi.
Yep. So I don't know if you're familiar with that, you know, but
I love Leah Remini. Funny.
She's awesome. She's a babe.
Leah Remini is like the strong female lead in her life. You know, like her life is like a movie. These early episodes I watch and I think to myself, I mentioned this in a previous review. She's going through her whole Scientology thing in here, you know? And I'm not going to crap on anybody's religion and beliefs and everything, but we certainly know that Leah has no interest in Scientology outside of getting people out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, I mean, I don't want to get too deep into what I feel about it, but it's, you know, it's, we'll just go past there.
No, I mean, you should always say whatever you want on the show, but I do believe that if this is what you want to do, who am I to tell you? But the warning signs are out there. That's all.
Oh, 100%.
For any religion.
Anything you have to be paid to be a part of and pay to leave, that's... Yeah. That doesn't really sound too religious to me, if you didn't, but that's neither here nor there.
Now, I don't like Bono from U2. I'm just not a fan of his, but he did make a comment a long time ago, and he said basically the God he believes in isn't really trying to scrounge up loose change.
Yes, fair enough.
So
I don't like the stories of all these people from Scientology that were getting beat up and smacked around by these leaders. Like it enrages me. Like, how could you? Saying that, like, they cut them off for their family because they don't believe a certain thing that they believe in. Like, I'm a live and let live kind of guy.
Yeah,
you know, I can agree to disagree with a lot of people. Like, if me and you don't have a religious belief or a political belief, that's okay. We should be able to agree to disagree. And a lot of people aren't like that anymore, you know. So. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I'm Jewish, but I'm Jewish in terms of, like,
like one of my coworkers,
you know, I feel like I do my best. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't,
gotcha. I was born and raised Catholic, but I don't really go to church or anything like that. You know, it's just, you know,
but you know what, even this is a conversation that would never end up on the show, which is amazing. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Although they did a church a little bit, but it was never drilled into our faces, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do believe Kevin James is a really, you know, devout Catholic.
Really?
He's a man of God for sure. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty positive he's a very holy man for sure.
Mazel tov. Yeah. So Arthur's talking about old times. So we'll get into our first clip here. I just love how he's just admiring that toast, man.
Jerry Stiller is amazing. I can't get enough of him.
He's the backbone of this show.
100%. This is why they can never do a reboot, because they would need Arthur. It's 100% a necessity, you know? Yeah,
mm-hmm. Unless somehow Ben Stiller was able to pull it off, but I don't see it. Personally.
No, I don't. I mean, he was funny in that one other episode as a cameo with the flashback, but he couldn't hold it as Jerry Stiller did.
It's just nobody can do an impression normally as well as someone's kid.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Like James Gandolfini's son, actually, I think does a reasonable impression of him.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever look him up.
Yeah. Morning, Dad.
Morning. Guess what I made? Like old times, huh? You, me, toast.
You, me. Toast.
To her face, like, okay.
And that's another thing. You wouldn't think that Leah Remini would be funny, but she just is. She just pulls it off.
It's funny, you know, though, in these earlier seasons, she's so much of a different character. The character development gets wild throughout the series.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing is, like, I hope you're going to return for a future episode or 30 definitely. Of them. And it's, yeah, as these characters develop, you know, some of these, you know, these early episodes are good, but they're not my favorite. I think you were talking about this particular episode as not being your favorite.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's okay. It's just, it's not, because I actually do, believe it or not, I go through my phases. I like to watch the earlier seasons better than the other ones and the later ones, but then I realize, like, there's so many loopholes. There's so many, like, not loopholes. There's so many, like, you know, holes in the plot and stuff like that. And things kind of just don't make sense. But it's a TV show. Like, you know, I got to stop being so critical, you know. I find myself being a little too sometimes like, well, that doesn't make sense. Why would they do that? Why would this person be here when they played that person, you know? But that's just me being, like, kind of a snob.
No, but I also like going down a rabbit hole of an actual discussion, like, you know, making believe Arthur's real and he had all these jobs and, you know, it's amazing. You know, just it's a remarkable, I think it's a fun way
Jewish,
to go.
Long Island Jewish had a pediatrics.
Yeah, right. That was amazing. Good luck, Arthur.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope you don't get it.
Yeah, we were inseparable.
So, darling, you wait here. I'll go butter this up for you real nice. Give me 15 minutes.
That's classic.
Give me 15 minutes.
I'm sorry, Dad. I cannot be late for work. I'm new there, remember?
Oh, Miss Big Deal Legal Secretary. What's in Manhattan now?
I do want to point out, it's a little blurry here, but this picture, it's so far it's been on every episode. And I'm pretty sure it's Leah Remini with her real husband in the middle and Kevin James. I'm just not 100% sure.
That you know what? Could be it.
Toast costs over there now, $10. And if you don't tip, they spit in it.
Then I'll tip. We're just going to have some coffee.
Hey, Slugger, check it out.
What's that?
It's in your mitt. I broke it in for the softball game tonight. Actually, it happened by accident. I fell asleep on it.
So the cold opening is pretty solid for this one. I like the cold openings. I think that they really, they carried it along the whole show. You know, they never kind of floated away from it the way like Seinfeld did. Like, I was never a fan of the way Seinfeld used to start.
With the stand up, but he's talking about what the theme of the episode is going to kind of be about, or like the premise. Yeah.
I'm not a fan of his stand up, I guess. But it's not even like really stand up. It was like hacky stand up.
I still love Seinfeld. I think it's great.
I love the show, but it's one of my least favorite things are the openings when he's doing stand up. I don't know why.
Just it's funny. I have to disagree. I think it's kind of I kind of like that. Be honest with you, but
come on. All right, we have to agree to disagree. Whatever that
That's
means.
Fair enough. And,
so let's see. So Carrie begrudgingly grabs the toast and she runs off and she's gone. You know, and that's it. Let's see. We have Brothers Pizzeria sponsoring the softball team.
Yeah.
Which I think that's another thing that I want to start tracking is like the different sponsorships for like their bowling.
Yeah, and Coopers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What I think is funny too about the Brothers Pizza is because Gary Valentine is really Kevin James' brother, but he's his cousin on the show, but he owns a pizzeria. So I think it's kind of funny that they go Brothers Pizzeria.
Right. It is. It's almost like
kind of like Easter egg type of thing.
Yeah, you know? I wonder if it was an inside joke, like little things like that.
Oh, it has to be, because they always have like Chamonix and like they have a different like you know, like Eddie, and it's always something, you know, like throughout the whole series that they always say certain things, like you know, I'm going to level with you. They say I'm going to level with you with a lot of different things, but a lot of different characters. So like little things like that, I notice, I pick up on.
And Jesper, you know, that was the last name of somebody.
Yes.
Jesper, you know.
The only guy.
Yeah, like there's a lot of like little you know, just
question. Yeah.
You know, like that has to be one of the weirdest things of all time that he does is when he creates the syllables in a word.
Yes, yep.
I don't know, something charming about it. So the guys come home.
Brass, bass, and Gatorade. You guys are lucky I'm alive.
I did just skip over, though, before Carrie can't make it to the softball game because she has to work late at her new job at the law firm.
Yes.
So the guys came back. They suck. Yeah, and that's okay.
Look, let's just all agree we all suck tonight.
Hey, I'm in.
Yeah, we'll kick some ass next week. Who we playing, Moose?
City Tech.
Who's that?
Female security guards.
So, all right. So they're hanging out in their garage, which, you know, a lot of people might do this. This would be very cold in my garage. And a car drives up.
Hey, Doug, some guy in a really nice car just pulled into your driveway.
Yeah, it's called a U-turn.
No, I don't think so. Your wife's getting out.
Oh. Really?
Oh, that's a Jaguar she's stepping out of, my friend. XJ8, top of the line.
Yeah, I test drove one of those babies.
And yet, you went with the 82 Corolla.
Hey, Doug, it's pretty damn nice you letting Carrie date other guys.
Yeah, very funny, very funny.
So, you know, they're ribbing him a little bit. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but it gets under his skin for some reason, which is kind of hilarious.
Absolutely.
Carrie comes
in. Girl in the clubhouse. You guys had your cootie shots? Hi. How was the game?
Oh, everyone sucked, not just me.
Good for you, Spence.
So, did you have a good day?
Honey, great day.
Did you get some kind of like a lift home or something?
Yeah, from Evan, my boss, in a Jaguar. Honey, you should get me one of those. I'll see you upstairs. Bye, guys.
Later, Carrie.
So they basically just continue ribbing him, just giving him a dirty look. And he's like, I'm not going to be jealous, but he is, you know, it gets to him pretty easily too.
Stop staring.
Yeah. Stop. So let's see, we go up to the bedroom and, kind of getting ready for the next day. Carrie's asking advice about her outfits, which is kind of a common theme. You know, it's her and Personally, I really love the episode where she buys a lot of the clothes and returns them. I
think that's in the later seasons. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm terrible with the titles of.
Me episodes. Too. I know some of them, but I that one is definitely, I think that's Close Encounter. I think it is.
Oh, really?
That's hilarious. Yeah. I have weird like memory with certain, like that just popped in my head when you just said that. I didn't remember, but then it really just popped in my head.
Do you have like a favorite episode? Like the pop song? You're like, oh, all right, I'll sit through it.
You know, there's so many of them.
Me, like Mentalo is one of them.
Mentalo, I love all the Christmas episodes. I'm a Christmas nut. I love Christmas.
Me too. As a Jew, I do
Christmas
too.
Time, I'll go watch every Christmas episode from each season. Mental, and also I'm a toy collector, so I definitely relate to that episode. Like when they go to the toy show, and Doug's just like, "Wow, you're like the James Dean of this crowd." So like, and Spence has got a picture of Deacon in his wallet. It was hilarious.
Whoopie, whoopie.
Yeah, speak English, man.
that little moment where Spence takes out his wallet, and it's like, "Do you look like this?" He's like, "Why do you have a picture of?"
I have you're in there too. Yeah, so Doug, you're in there too.
Which is an interesting throwback. Like nobody carries pictures in their wallets.
Yeah, anymore. No, but that's how you can tell how outdated how dated the show is. Mm-hmm. You know,
there are little things like that that are like whoa, like the scamp.
Yes, yep.
It's totally intuitive. All right. So the kind of going back and I don't know. I just lost my train of thought. Doug is basically referring to the fact that Carrie is calling him Evan.
Oh, guess what? There's this really famous cello player from China, Li Feng something. Anyway, he's throwing a big concert next week in the city, and the firm got all these tickets, and Evan gave his to me. So if you play your cards right, I'll let you go with me. There's always room for cello.
Call him Evan, huh?
Huh?
Your boss, you just call him Evan?
Well, that's his name.
No, I know. I mean, just that, you know, my boss has been there 6 years and it's still Supervisor O'Boyle.
Uh-huh.
So you just walk around all day calling each other Evan.
Well, he doesn't call me Evan. We get a little confused.
I know. I just, you know, I don't know. He sounds like a great guy, right? I mean, partner in a big New York law firm, giving his secretary free tickets, driving her all the way home to Queens in his fancy Jaguar.
He's not totally wrong, but whatever.
Yeah, I give it to any man can go through, you know.
Yeah.
Unless you know, personally know the guy or, like, you know, it's just it's something, you know. But I get where he's going from. Any man's going to feel the same way.
Yeah, but you got to, like, really respect where the Carrie character goes with this right now.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of that.
Honey, if he didn't drive me home, how else would we have sex in his car?
Lucky man.
It's not funny.
All right. So, obviously, it's ridiculous. His faces are ridiculous. this is... So I am recording the video. This will be uploaded somewhere. I have to find like some special dark place of the internet to share these videos and people will be able to see what we're laughing at.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's see. What do you think is next? Is a little bit of So Doug's like, I'm not going to go and see the cellist. I don't have an interest. And so she's like, I'll go without you. And that's essentially where they leave off, except Doug kind of feels guilty. So he shows up at the law firm.
Yeah, you could tell. Sorry.
No. Go on.
It's like he feels a little guilty, but you also I think he wants to kind of see what this guy looks like. He wants to kind of like, you know, snipe in and see what's going on.
Yeah. You brought like a little Macy's bag or something.
Yeah, that looks amazing. The gold star.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm trying to find Carrie Heffernan.
Oh, she's in Mr. Lazar's office.
But everyone called him Evan.
That's amazing. I guarantee Evan Lazar is like someone. It's like somebody's cousin.
Oh, yeah.
So Evan comes out and he's wearing the most dated, like, Gordon Gekko Wall Street shirt.
A blue shirt with the white collars and white
suspenders.
Cuffs.
It's just one of these. Look at this guy. The big tie.
And for the record, you never see Evan ever again. It's always, you know, Mr. Prezan or something like that.
I love Prezan.
He's the best,
like... He just walked past Doug.
Doug! Honey, what are you doing here?
I felt bad about being such an idiot last night. I thought I'd drive in and see if you wanted to go have some lunch.
Oh, my God, that is so sweet. Of course I do. Oh, look, honey. This is my desk. It's pretty swanky, huh?
I like it. Look at this. I even got you something for it, huh?
Oh, world's greatest golfer.
So, that's ridiculous.
So the gift shop ad.
All right, so Doug's like, all right, I'm out of here. So he just happens to be taking the elevator with Evan, which I think is one of the more interesting scenes from this.
So you see his wedding ring on, too, so.
Oh, yeah, good call. Doug always has an uncomfortable look. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Hey. Hello. I, couldn't help noticing that woman in there in your office with you. She your assistant?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, she is.
She's quite a looker.
I suppose. Yeah.
She married?
Yes.
I hate that. Hate that.
He really is this generation's of Jackie Gleason, you know?
100%. I never really made that connection, but yeah. Well, he does play, they do a Honeymooners skit.
Yes, right? I love that episode. Yeah. The TV, what is it? Tube something?
There are parts of it I like, but I don't know. There's something about it. I don't love it.
I did like, what I liked about that episode is that they had the, like, each cat, even when they did a soap opera thing, it looked like a soap opera camera. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like they went out of their way to give it the look.
Yeah, in the cartoon, they did a cartoon skit of, you know, and like Arthur's the parrot and stuff
that's
like that.
That's right, Arthur's the parrot. That's so funny.
Need it. But you know what, a guy like you, you probably don't even worry about that kind of thing, huh?
So what are you getting at?
I'm just saying, you know, working with her every day, you got to be thinking about a little, hello, Montana.
Hello, Montana. Like, what?
No, listen. No, come on, truth now. You're gonna go for it? You're gonna go for it, my man! Come on!
All right, look, that is enough. That woman is a fine employee and a good person. She deserves better than to be objectified and leered at by someone like you. I just wish her husband was here to punch your face in.
The only thing missing in this is it would have been interesting if Doug was kind of, like, happy now. You know, like, kind of like, all right, that's we're good now.
You know? I never understood this shot. I mean, I know it's a garage, but like, you only see it in the first season. Like, it looks nothing even like the house. Like, where is the house? Like, so many plot holes with that stuff.
It look, yeah. I mean, this is like somebody's house. They just drove down the street.
Yeah,
took a picture.
You even look in the garage. It looks nothing like. If you look up at the shelves up there, that looks nothing like what they're.
I mean, the only similarity, really, the doors can be, you can be said that it's the doors, but nah.
Yeah, the garage doors, but other than that.
So let's see, we're back in the garage. Let's see, so, yeah, just the guys who talk, I'm going to play a little bit of it.
I'm hungry.
Come on, your mother, go inside and make a sandwich.
It's too far. I wish the TV were made of cheese.
No, that's actually possible.
So these ridiculous comments.
Get out of here.
It is. I mean, you couldn't make it out of brie.
I love ridiculous. These like little moments of like, couldn't make it out of brie.
It's so ridiculous.
And Deacon comes up with probably the best comment here.
Harder cheese, like a Stilton or an aged Gorgonzola? Absolutely.
Could you make a VCR out of crackers?
God's sake. You're missing the point. If you went to the trouble of making a TV out of cheese, you'd have to make a commitment not to eat it.
Then why would you make it out of cheese in the first place?
I can't talk to you.
What do you think, Deke?
I think, why am I here instead of with my wife and child?
We all ask this. Richie, I think Richie is really funny. And he probably has,
I do like him. I think I might be more partial to Danny personally, but I do like Richie.
Danny was the good solution. And I'm wondering, you know, solution for that role. But being that Richie was first, that's why I kind of like, you know. But he has a great quote here about Moose.
On schedule. Oh, looks like Evan got it detailed.
All right, come on, guys.
Did he get a haircut?
I like it.
I'm not sure. I think he just put something in it. I think he's using Moose.
I think we all know Richie, right?
Yeah, everyone's got a Richie in their life.
And they're all volunteer firefighters.
Yeah. Or garbage men or something.
Yeah. I love our volunteer firefighters. So if we have listeners out there, yeah, we're
absolutely
big supporters.
100%.
Someone brought up an interesting little thing that I've never heard of. And they were saying that, of course, you know, King of Queens was on the air during 9/11. And they were saying, like, his departure from the show was around the same time as 9/11. And I don't know about that. I'm not really sure.
I think it was before 9/11 because you got to figure this was 98 and this is the first season, you know, 2001, right? I'm assuming 9/11. So, I mean, it could be. Yeah, I think because I think after the third season, he stopped coming around.
I think it's Larry Romano, right?
Yes, Larry Romano. Yes.
All right. While we play the next clip, I'm going to ask one of our AI superpowers to tell me the answer.
AI is diabolical.
It is one of the worst things ever, but what I use it for is organizing thoughts and notes. I don't use it for anything physical.
Like, well, if it works, it works.
Yeah. Well, when you have a scattered mind like mine, my notes are so bananas and so like crazy, and it just puts it into a structure that I use. That's all.
Fine.
How do you know?
I know. Practically begged him to have sex with her.
Yeah, so he's saying how he confronted Evan and just didn't. So let's see. Carrie comes
home. Hey, guys. Hi. Honey, don't forget. Cello concert tomorrow night. You excited?
Yeah. I said before that he said he didn't want to go, but yeah, now he's going to basically. They get into kind of a blow up about it. And
yeah.
Let's see. He doesn't want to go and see the cellist. You know, this kind of music, I can really respect it, but I'm just not the biggest fan of it personally.
I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't sit through a concert like that.
But I mean, I can respect it.
You know? Yeah, no, 100%. Absolutely. Just because I don't like it personally doesn't mean I can't respect it. Yeah. It's not my cup of tea.
Yeah. So let's see. We're back in the bedroom.
Exile. Wad. honey, how do you pronounce X-I-A-U-A?
What are you doing?
I'm trying to figure out how to say this guy's name so I don't sound like such a mook at the concert, you know?
Hey, you think Doug would know?
It's pretty good over here!
Oh, wait, sorry.
Before you hurt yourself there, I wanted to talk to you about...
Sorry.
No problem.
My mouse was in the other window, and you said something.
You know, so I was just saying, like, she asks him how he pronounces it. You think this man would actually know how to pronounce that?
Yeah, exactly. It's true.
I wanted to talk to you about that. Thinking, you know, maybe we need to take a pass on this cello thing.
What? What are you talking about?
Well, for starters, we'll be missing a softball game.
So it's one game, hon.
Plus the one you already missed. I mean, people of the team, they're starting to grumble. And there's a whole lot of internal politics I've been shielding you from.
All right, honey, what is your problem? Are you still on the Evan thing?
No, it's not about Evan. It's about you, you know? Ever since you got this new job, I think it's gone to your head a little bit.
What? Shut up.
Shut up.
But I think it's valid. And, you know, I don't know. A lot of people might disagree with me. But, you know, she's surrounding herself with people who are differently cultured, differently, like it's a more corporate environment. And I think that for some people that can be really intimidating.
Yes.
And they're, for all intents and purposes, Doug is a very blue collar worker. So he's not, you know, he's not used to that like lifestyle. So yeah, I think he's being silly, but at the same time, I kind of get it.
Yeah. I get it.
Think about it. First, you don't want to eat your father's toast. Right? And then your clothes aren't good enough for you. Now it's this weird obsession with cello. I mean, what's next? Bottled water? Tea?
Okay, you know what, honey? You gotta...
Bottled water. Tea. Basically, they kind of blow up and decides that he doesn't want to go. And it's... just, you know, the way it is. So to next day, we're eating some food.
Look at Arthur.
He's just hilarious to watch.
Yeah, he just...
How you doing? What's that you're wearing? Hmm? Oh, softball uniform. Just more comfortable? Playing softball. Oh, that worked out well. Where's Carrie? She went to a cello concert. Oh, fancy.
Everything he does is just ridiculous.
Part of you that felt that maybe, I don't know, that I wasn't good enough for her. Hey, it was a wedding. I'd had a few drinks. When I said those things, I had no idea I was speaking to your mother.
No, I know.
She was nodding, agreeing with me, for God's sakes. How could I know?
His hands are the best, bro. His way he flails his hands and his arms and outbursts are great.
He really is like a monkey boy.
Yeah, he is.
Arthur, I'm just... Really? My mother? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Bosomy woman, right?
Bosomy woman, right?
Not a way we want to think about our mothers. So here starts the basic pantomime. But I'm going to play the beginning of it anyway. The guy next to him, he looks like he's a character actor in other movies and TV shows. But
yeah, right.
He's trying really hard to do two things, to be in character, but not so much that they throw him out or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi.
What are you doing here?
Karen, listen, I've been doing a lot of thinking, and you know what? This is something you want to try? I'm with you.
So I have a little fact check. So paint misbehaving, which I think is the
paintball one. That's actually my least favorite episode.
I hate that episode.
I do too. I can't stand it.
That was Richie Iannucci's last episode, and that aired February 5th, 2001.
Gotcha.
So that's a good 7 months before the 9/11 attacks.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Really? You really mean that?
I do. If we like it, we like it. If we don't, we don't. I'm betting we will.
These little glasses that they have on.
Yeah, right?
Well, okay. Thank you.
Oh, here we go.
He's yelling. Here we go. I think I would be the same dope, but whatever.
Yeah, I'd be me too.
He's like,
calm down.
I'm not going to play too much of this. Kind of reminds me a little bit of my son's recitals. And he's 17 now, though. And you go to these, high school nights, and it's like everybody's really good and everything, but it's like, oh my God. How long was this?
Exactly. 100%.
Like, who's this kid? Doug. He looks like he's reading The Great Gatsby.
Should I get the car?
All right. So,
should I get the car?
Yeah.
The third inning. Come on.
Doug, I don't want to leave. Shh.
Come on. You can't possibly be liking this.
He's pissed.
Yeah. That's amazing. You can totally hear in your mind what he's saying. Like,
yeah, come on. Yeah. And the best part about it, what I was saying before, I think I feel like they took this audio. I feel like they recorded them saying it and just lowered the volume and edited it in.
It's definitely possible. Definitely possible.
Yeah, so it comes out very accurate. But and it's so funny too, because this is how I would react. Like, he goes there for like 30 seconds. He goes, "All right, pull the car up." She's like, "What? What are you talking about? Like, you can't be enjoying this."
It's a very visual thing. So they're basically having an argument and they're yelling at each other and
in silence.
Yeah, in silence. Which it's just a really great, I don't know, like a throwback to a silent film era type of thing.
But yeah, back definitely. Then,
you know, you had to be very expressive.
Yes.
To get your point across. And I think they're doing really great jobs at both of them. And,
yeah, I agree.
So let's see, we're finally at the end. Doug is like doing anything he can to stay awake. He's looking through like the what do you call that? The little magazine, the program.
Yeah, a little pamphlet, yeah.
This is basically the way I was as a kid when I would have to go to like very long like bar mitzvahs or something.
Yeah,
or
weddings, yep.
And you know, and it's like, oh,
this is almost over, like yeah, I'll go home. Yeah.
Like you start losing your mind. This is one of the funnier things he does. He times himself holding his breath. I love the way he looks around to see if anybody's proud of him. He's so proud of himself.
Yeah.
It's so funny, man. And now he's mimicking the guy next to him. Snowcaps. Personal favorite.
His head back. Yeah, he puts his head back and they go into his mouth.
And again, he's very proud of himself. Look at this. Doug is just a child. He's like out of steam. It's finally over. Worst thing ever. It's like going to a concert you don't want to go to.
Yeah. I love how he's the last one sitting in there too.
Yeah. So let's see. We basically make up the way that these two always do. You know, they don't get nasty at each other. You know, other things that I've brought up that are in relation to this like universe is the Ray Romano show, Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah,
and I think Ray Romano is very funny. I personally like his comedy, but
another Long Island guy.
Yeah, another Long Island. I think they're in Massapequa, maybe in that show.
Could be Valley Stream, maybe. I don't know, Franklin Square. I could be wrong though.
Yeah, some one of those. one of those. So the problem that I have with that show is Ray and Deborah hate each other like for real.
Yeah,
and it's just. For me anyway, it can be funny that way. You know, don't get me wrong, like Marriage with Children, phenomenal show, and they hate each other. But this is not supposed to be like that. And with Doug and Carrie, very rarely do we see a moment where they really hate each other.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, we get tense, you know, towards the end, even when they're breaking up, it's kind of like they still don't hate each other. They're still kind of.
Yeah. That's my least favorite episode. That last,
The very last
episode of the series finale, I hated that episode.
You know what? I've only seen it a few times.
China Syndrome?
Yeah. It's one of those things that I plan on revisiting and trying to find the positive in it.
Yeah, well, no. What I hate about it, it makes me sad because I know the show's ending.
Yeah.
And it's just like there's nothing I can do about it. And I know that's a little ridiculous of me, but, you know, that's just really what it comes down to.
Yeah, it's a bummer. It's like, oh, you know, it's like anything, you know, even like the Seinfeld final episode, a lot of people like crap on it, but it's like, I mean, it was a good episode. I thought it's a bummer that it's over now.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
They tried, you know, they also tried something, you know, really out there, but, there's a sweet, like reconciliation between these two. And, Basically, Carrie reassures Doug that she loves
him. Laws and these great people and all this culture stuff. I just got to wondering, you know, why you'd ever want to come home to me.
Hmm.
What?
Well, it's just, you know, you make a good point. It's like the...
You make a good point.
Thanks.
Well, what the hell is wrong with you? You think because I take a job on the other side of the river and I go to a freaking cello concert, I'm not going to want to be married to you anymore?
No. It goes back further than that. At our wedding, when the priest said, do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband?
I'm tracking Kevin James' watches, by the way. He's been wearing G-Shock on the first 5 episodes. So
okay.
At some point, he has to change it, unless he's going to be wearing a G-Shock the whole time. I don't know.
Yeah, could definitely very well be. That's one thing I've never noticed.
Me either. I didn't notice until I started this show, actually. So it's only like 2 weeks old worth of information.
There you go.
And you said yes. I got to be honest. I thought you settled.
Ay, this is ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous. I mean, in case you haven't noticed here, Kat, there's a little bit of difference, huh? You smart and sexy. Me, not that smart and not that sexy.
Well, we saw the wrestling photo.
You're so undesirable. How come I think about you in the middle of a meeting at work? And how come you still make me laugh after you tell the same dumb joke for the third time? And how come I can't sleep until I know you're lying next to me?
Really? You can't?
No.
And why do you scream when I touch you?
Because I'm sleeping, I'm startled.
I like that they end the episode not hating each other. He kind of calls out a little bit the music.
I did too.
Here.
I liked it.
Get out of here. You did not.
I did too. It was long, but it was good. It was long. God, it was long.
He didn't like it.
I think I might start the whole episode with a particular clip from the episode that we're going to review, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to pick this when she's like bleeping like crazy.
Oh yeah.
And here's another thing. So you watched this when it was in syndication. Did you ever have when you would watch it, like this part cut out? Or because when they would air it, like every day on like TBS.
Oh, I've been seeing this every time I watch the syndication. This part was at the very end of it. Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, it must be a newer thing because back in, I would say 2003, 2004, when it was like first in rotation, they would cut it out because they're like, you know, they could squeeze in another commercial.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. It's, you know, but it coincides when he goes, oh, come on, nobody can curse like you. You know what I mean? So it ties hand in hand with that.
Absolutely. I love these endings. But there'll be times where I'm watching it and I'm like, I don't remember this at all. I mean, I remember this one, but other episodes. And I'm like, it's crazy that they would show this episode without the closing. So anyway.
Hey, Bernstein, your mother's a
it's so fun.
I love you.
Pretty awesome. So yeah, I think I might start it with that little clip. And that brings us to the end of the episode, man.
Yeah, man.
I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me.
Well, I appreciate you having me on.
So you have a website, largeanthony.com. where you can learn all about the work that you do. You do a lot of different art, but you also, specifically, you also focus on tattoo art.
Yeah, I tattoo for a living. I've been tattooing now for like 18 years.
Wow.
I do 2D animation, and I also, I'm dabbling into the YouTube videos. I have a channel called Tats, Tunes, and Toys.
Oh,
I also
awesome.
Do vintage toy collecting and just kind of all collectibles, you know, comics, toys, you know, memorabilia, you know, all different types of like little knickknacks.
Yeah, I refer to myself as a hoarder / archivist.
Yeah, I can say I'm gonna say archivist. I like that.
And I worked at Scholastic Entertainment. I was able to work on a lot of toys. And I got to do some of the packaging, which is a lot of fun.
half the reason why I collect is the packaging and the card artwork and the on the card backs. It looks great.
Do you remember Capsella?
I don't believe so.
Okay, that goes back to the 70s. So anyway,
before my time.
The last thing I did before I left was I did a Brazilian packaging for Capsella, which is kind of like an engineering toy. You know, it's kind of like, you know, a smart toy. And, okay. Anyway, so yeah, that was one of the last things. But TV shows like toys like that are associated with Clifford the Big Red Dog, Magic School Bus, things like that. I did a lot of the packaging for. So it was a lot of fun. But yeah, I collect a lot of great stuff. We definitely have to talk about that.
Yeah, 100%.
But definitely check out largeanthony.com. And it's Tats Tunes Toys?
Yeah, Tats Tunes and Toys.
All right, man.
Tunes spelled like T-O-O-N-S, like cartoons.
All right, and I'll get a link to this, put it in the show notes, so people can definitely check out what you do.